Hey there, and welcome to the Five by the Fire podcast. I'm your host, Armand Sheffy, aka Pastor Fury, and I'm the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a family of missionaries innovating ways to help those in the shadows of Lake County and beyond experience freedom in Jesus. And in this nightly podcast, we take a look at a bit of the reading from the day's reading in the McShane Bible Reading Plan, and we dive in for about 5 minutes. So go ahead, grab a cup of coffee, cozy up like we're by the fire, and let's chat. This is Five by the Fire. And today we read Genesis 37, Mark 7, Job 3, and Romans 7. And today in Genesis, we finally cracked the pages open on one of my favorite stories in the whole of Scripture, the story of Joseph. We meet this son of Jacob, the favorite, as the first son of his true love, Rachel, when he's just 17. Almost as if to make his favoritism clear, Jacob clothes Joseph in a robe of many colors. Joseph is essentially set apart from his brothers from the beginning. Not only in dress, but we also see in behavior. He was said to have brought a bad report of his brothers back home to Jacob. That's a tough spot for the young man, I'm sure. I mean, he surely wants to retain the favor of his father and does not want to just fall in line with the negative behavior he sees of his brothers. He was likely seen, though, as a brown noser or a bit of a goody two shoes. Fun fact, goody two shoes comes from Marjorie Meanwell, an orphan girl who lived virtuously but with only one shoe. And she gets the name when she meets a wealthy gentleman who gives her a complete pair of shoes as he marries her. She is dubbed Goody Two Shoes, effectively setting her apart from the one shoe or no shoe poor folks in her time. In the same way, we see Joseph, or Joey Sweetrobe, as a different youngster than his brothers. It's wise of us to pause, though, and recognize the similar scenarios we find ourselves in as we travel through relationships not wholly unlike those with Joseph and his brothers or with his parents. Our call as followers of Jesus in a dark and dying world is to be light, is to be salt, preserving it. That will clearly involve us living lives counterculturally and set apart, but may also include standing loudly against the prevailing activity of our family, friends, coworkers, neighbors. And there's not just one cookie-cutter way that we should respond to unrighteousness that we perceive in our world, but in most all cases, silence in the face of it simply condones it and contributes to its continuance. Our response is important. But I think we also see here our why behind it matters as well. I know actors face what has become a very cliched question as they prepare for roles or prepare to act out scenes. That question of, what's my motivation? I mean, why can't they just be told what to say and expected to go do it? Because the why behind something matters. It colors the way a thing is done, the tone used, the heart behind something. I know my daughter still struggles with tone and her heart with things as we challenge her and some of her negative interactions with us. She'll often say, but what did I say wrong? And our general response is like, it's not what, but it's how you said it. Fix your tone. I know that when I'm writing emails in my office, if I'm upset at the way a person did something or at a situation, and then I work to write an email while I'm still angry, that heart set so often colors what I even say or how I phrase certain things. We read in Matthew 12:34, we read this earlier, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What's inside is going to come out in many ways. And even we read today in Mark that it's not what we put in that defiles us, but what comes out. So it's important that we check our motivations as we respond. That it's not just a way to get satisfaction from rebuking. That we're not just trying to elevate our own standing or our own self-esteem. but that it's a thing that we don't even enjoy. It's not a pleasant experience. It's a painful, undesired engagement for justice and righteousness' sake, as Psalms tells us that those are the foundation of God's throne. And we don't know Joseph's motivations, just as we don't know what motivated his eager sharing of two dreams that foretell of his supremacy over not only his brothers, but his parents as well. It appears as though, while set apart for God's divine purposes, he still has some maturing to do. And while we would never choose God's method, his path of maturation and sanctification of his people, as we recall from yesterday's podcast, often comes through pain and trial, knowing endurance, character, and hope are the result. The painful betrayal of his jealous brothers is the beginning of Joseph's great maturing, his great testing, like we read today of Job as well. I think it will be interesting for the next few days to even begin to meditate on the differences that we see laid out of ways to respond to suffering. But we'll talk about those in another evening. For now, let us ask God to help us with our motivation and our response. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you love us enough to correct us, that you keep us close and you shape and mold us into the image of your Son Jesus. And as you sanctify us, Lord God, we pray that you would sanctify our hearts, giving us the right heart set, the right motivation to chase after justice and righteousness, and that you would lead our response to this wicked and weary world, that we would truly be salt and light for your name's sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you guys, man, I've done it again. I'm way over 5 minutes. But hey, hang with me and head on over to 5bythefire.org. Leave comments. Let me know what you think. Hey, if you feel like, yo, 7 minutes keeps being too long, work harder to make it shorter, put that in the comments, y'all. Subscribe, rate, and share. And I'll see you back here tomorrow night on 5 by the Fire. Be blessed and be a blessing.